At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
That's your 3 o'clock hour theme song. Our guy, Georgie, you can follow him on social media, Georgie, J-O-R-G, music, M-U-Z-I-K. Puts out some good music. I was surprised, Appel, at your, I understand what you're saying about Tua, but also the default of, hey, if he hasn't done it yet, that means he can't do it. I don't buy into.
But that was also Orande's knock on Tua, is that he hasn't done all that stuff. And so I was confused how he was using that as a knock on Tua and also as a defense of Tua. He's like, well, do you think that gives him a better chance to go win in Buffalo in January? And the only reason he's asking me that question is because he clearly doesn't think Tua is capable of doing that.
No, I took it as he believes Tua is more close to doing that than Cam is, which, by the way, I mean, you would acknowledge is true. Tua would be closer going to Buffalo to winning an away playoff game than Cam Ward would be in season one, no?
He's played decently. I remember in the snow a couple years ago in December, they had a really close game there. They lost late against the Bills. Last year, they played a close game there. It was earlier in the season, if I remember correctly, so it wasn't in the frigid temps like it was in that playoff game or in the snow game from a couple of years ago. I don't know. I just feel like you have so much more freedom. Like, just hypothetically speaking, all right, you offload the Tua contract and maybe you somehow are able to dump Tyreek's contract with that, or maybe you don't. But there's a disgruntled wide receiver in Washington right now who had a pretty good year last year. And again, I know we're all talking hypotheticals here, but hypothetically, you clear that money out of Tua, that's $50 million. You bring in Cam Ward on a rookie deal. Hey, you know what? We have some extra ammo here and some cap space. Hey, Terry McLaurin, Scary Terry, why don't you come on down? We've got the money to pay you for a couple of years. And by the time it's time to re-up Cam Ward, McLaurin's off the books. Your other big contracts are off the books. And you've got Cam Ward and more cap space again. And cap space to sign him there.
Again, you're not going to get me to argue against Cam Ward because I watched what he did at UM, and you know.
And I don't like arguing against Tua because I like Tua.
Right. No, I get it. It boils down to, and this is a conversation that Crowder and Solana and I have had, is if you're going to fundamentally change the team, you have to acknowledge you're taking steps backwards. Even if you're bringing in a Terry McLaurin and a Cam Ward, if you are going to dismantle some of the tenets of the team, you're going backwards. And my point was, because I know a lot of Dolphins fans wanted to get rid of Chris Greer, wanted to get rid of Mike McDaniel, and some wanted to get rid of Tua after last season, right? Not because he's a bad guy, just because you don't know if he's ever going to be able to stay healthy for a season. I get it. I understand it. But my point was, if you do that, you end up being further away from, I don't know what your goal is, a Super Bowl, a playoff victory, a conference championship game, whatever the goal is, you end up being further away than if you keep everyone together, Chris Greer, because I don't think this is a dumpster fire.
I don't think it is either.
They see, and that's my point. Now, have they been able to get a playoff victory under Mike McDaniel? No, I get it. Have they been able to have a meaningful late game victory with Tua as the quarterback?
Like,
no,
like two.
Right. So I get it. My point is, I think this team, this Dolphins team, is closer to being the team we saw in 2023 than we saw in 2024. And if you would buy into that, then I don't make any fundamental changes, because that team in 2023 was exciting for a while. They looked like one of the best teams in football.
And then everybody got hurt.
And nobody got hurt, which
everybody got. Remember the, who they started on defense? Though.
Tua didn't get hurt.
No, no, but I'm saying like their downfall was because their defense, Bruce Irvin and Melvin Ingram as their pass rushers in Kansas City. Like they were so depleted on
but
defense.
Tua played 17 games that season.
And I think the distinction that I would make in response to you is that I think that the offense is, I think it's not out of the realm of possibility that the offense returns to what they looked like the first 2 years under McDaniel. I think as a whole, there are way too many question marks at defensive back. And I don't want to keep harping on that, but like that is a massive hole on this team right now. And maybe Jack Jones and Storm Duck surprise us. And maybe turns out we shouldn't have been as worried about it as we are. But that to me, especially in a division with Josh Allen, Drake May seems like he's got something cooking in New England. It is a little scary that if you've got to get into a shootout with somebody, you have confidence in your offense, but like, can your defense get a stop? Like there's only so much that front seven and that pass rush will be able to do when you've got the holes the Dolphins do defensively. I think to your point, like I said, the offense certainly I think can get back to form like we saw in 23 and in 22.
Which, by the way, again, if you're in a shootout, I mean, that's what you want. You want a high-powered offense. The offensive line seems better, right? I mean, you're reading all this stuff about Patrick Paul.
Well, now like Austin Jackson's hurt, so.
the real deal. But and the front seven, I mean, Crowder's high on them, right? Like, they can get to the quarterback. I get it, but I get it with the secondary. But every team is going to have a deficient part, right? Unless you're you're going to say that's a pretty important deficient part.
Well, I would say it's worse than a deficiency at this point.
Well, it's the most deficient grouping that they have.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay. But every team, I imagine, maybe I haven't looked at all the rosters. Every team is going to have a deficient grouping.
For the most part. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to find a lot of perfect teams top to bottom in the league.
So my point on the Dolphins is, which was, again, the same as it was last season, I think 2024 was an aberration and 2023 was more representative of what this team is. And if that's the case, put last season out of your mind. 2023, you felt like they were pretty damn close. I mean, you did for much of that season. It didn't look good at the end of the season, didn't look good in Kansas City, although I think Teron Armstead just said in his podcast a week or so ago that game in Kansas City should not have been played. That game was not meant for human beings. That was not meant for. That was not meant for. Yeah, I mean that was brutal to watch. But I don't know. I just think people are sleeping on a talented Dolphins team. I think people are doing the and I know it's been 25 years since you've had a playoff victory, so I get it. I get where the attitude comes from, but I think people are. Quick to this to me is like pulling a pitcher in the fourth inning when he's shown you some really good stuff, but also maybe got, gave up a couple of dingers. Like, I just think it's too early to go, it's time to rethink everything. I think they're much closer than that.
I don't necessarily disagree, but I'm looking at the schedule and after the bye week, starting in week 13, they're home against New Orleans. New Orleans is going to be the worst team in the NFL this year. But then you've got at the Jets, at the Steelers on Monday night, home against the Bengals on Sunday Night Football on the 21st, home against Tampa Bay, and then at New England in week 18. I mean, that is not ideal schedule.
There's a reason that the over-under for the Dolphins is 8.5, because it's begging you to take it. It's begging you to take the over, which, by the way, is at plus 150. And I think this team almost at their bottom, if most pieces stay healthy, is a 9-win team.
I agree with that.
But then you look at that schedule and you go, wow, they've got some tough opponents, and the way the schedule is laid out is tough for them as well. So, but I am going to hammer the over. I'm going to bet the Dolphins over. I'm going to bet Dolphins over on wins. I'm going to bet Tyreek over on receiving yards. Guess what it is for the season? Do you know?
I don't. Is it like, is it at 1,000 or is it under 1,000?
Under 1,000.
Oh, I mean, you kind of just on principle have to take that.
975. I mean, this dude was flirting with 2,000 yards and his over under is going to be 975. How could you not take that?
Yeah.
And I'm going to take a flyer on the Dolphins to win the AFC East.
That's lighting money on fire.
I mean, injuries happen. Not that I'm wishing injury on anybody, but injuries happen.
Okay.
Well, it's true. I mean, I don't think that it's much of a stretch to think the Dolphins are the most competitive team in the AFC East, because everyone's doing the, well, if Drake May thing for New England, and who the hell knows with the Jets and Justin Fields.
Correct.
Like, that's a wild card as well. But everyone's doing this Drake May thing the way that they did with Mac Jones. Well, I think Mac Jones is coming around. Like, what have we really seen from Drake May to think that he's ready to? We like Vrabel. Like, I get that.
That's a big part of it. Yes, I
understand. But I don't understand why the Dolphins aren't considered runaway second best team in the AFC East. And if you're the second best team in the AFC East, I think you can compete for it.
I said last week that I need to see it from the Patriots to believe that they can be the second. I mean, it's so sad. The second best team in the AFC East. I have to see it from Drake May. And I know that, like, if you look at his numbers, 15 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, they don't really jump out at you. But I think he showed enough flashes where if you get a little bit of skill around him, which they did in the offseason, that maybe he can make another leap and play better under a Mike Vrabel coaching staff. But yeah, I mean, again, I got to see it to believe it with them, but I don't think like writing them off also is not the move either.
Not writing them off. I, again, when I look at the AFCs, and I haven't heard anyone say this, we can ask Clay Ferreiro in the next segment, but when I ask anyone seed the AFC East, I don't hear anyone have the Dolphins at number two.
It's always the Patriots.
Everyone does this weird acrobatic thing about the Patriots and Drake May.
It's
I think the Patriots are turning the corner and they've got Vrabel as the head coach and Drake May has shown some signs and whatever. And I look at this Dolphins team and I go, wait a second. This is a really talented team. Tua, Tyreek, Jalen Waddle. I love Devon Achan in the backfield. And I don't know what's going to happen at tight end. I saw that Drew Rosenhaus told Josh Moser yesterday that, you know, Darren Waller will be ready to go by game one.
They must have passed on Noah Fant, right? Because they had him in for a workout. And I didn't see anything.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like anything ever transpired on that. So I just think that they're talented offensively. I think 100%. I think the offensive line is better. And I don't know why. I guess it's a typical, and the Dolphins have done it to themselves. I'm not saying that it's unwarranted, but Dolphins fans are at this place where it's like, yeah, I don't see it. It's going to be terrible. And I just don't feel that way about this team. And I happen to love Tua. I just do.
Noah Fant is a Bengal.
Oh, he signed with Cincy?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
Is last week. It was kind of mutual. Like, I guess the Dolphins didn't really, and he didn't really. So they just went their separate ways.
Maybe it was to light a little fire under Darren Waller to bring him in. Hey, we're just kicking the tires here. Anyway, interesting. We'll see what Clay Ferreiro has to say. Let's do headlines with Dan Day here for the 3 o'clock hour, brought to you by.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Doral Hyundai, the number one Hyundai store in the nation, just went full beast mode. Doral Hyundai, where the deals are monstrous and the prices don't survive. No one sells for less. No one.
Matt Mervis. No longer a Marlin.
Unbelievable.
Nor a jumbo shrimp.
Unbelievable. So the Marlins release, the Jacksonville jumbo shrimp release Matt Mervis today. So when will he sign somewhere else, Appel? 5 hours? 4 hours? Three hours?
If you were a GM of a team, he'd have been signed yesterday. You would have traded him.
He'd be playing for the Yankees, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
3 hours.
Who do you follow? Jimmy, who do you follow for your minor league baseball news?
Jumbo Shrimp, unfortunately.
No. Who's like your newsbreaker for the minor leagues? Like, who can I find out who is where Matt Mervis is going to go? Who's the Shams Charania of the minor leagues?
That's a good question. I don't know. I'll look for you.
All right, call someone.
Yeah, I was going to say, while you're at it, call the Jumbo Shrimp and ask why Matt Mervis was released. Maybe we can really get to the bottom of it.
I'm sure right now they're being flooded with that. So just, be patient.
And to see if he's gone anywhere yet.
Boycott the jumbo shrimp.
Does he have do you don't follow him? Or does he have a page?
Well, I follow him, but I'm wondering if there's a MLB source. Yeah, I follow Mervis. I follow the jumbo shrimp. Not much longer, though. Jumbo shrimp just lost a fan.
My thing is, even before Jackson Junk got called up, I was following him and like tweeting at him and everything. He's never responded. I'm sure if he ever sees me, he's going to punch me in the face.
Oh, Mervis sent me a direct message the other day that said, thanks for the support.
Oh.
This is a true friendship. Like, Hawk lost a local friend today.
Oh, I love this dude. I love this dude. This would be like if Appel got released by, what do you got coming up broadcasting-wise? What are you broadcasting?
I've got a USL Championship match on Saturday night. Top two teams in the league on CBS Sports Golasso Network at 8 o'clock.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. Who are the top two teams in the league?
Louisville City and Charleston Battery.
Ooh.
Oh, very exciting.
Louisville's got a good Saturday fan base. Night?
Yes, they do. A great stadium. It'll be a primetime game on Saturday night. It's a big one.
Very exciting. Well, this would be like if Appel got released from CBS Golasso, and they gave you no reason. And he had been doing great work, and that's what happened with Mervis and the Jumbo Shrimp.
Well, I'm sure they gave Mervis a reason when they called him.
What's the reason? You only hit 14 home runs in 10 days, and we expected you to hit 21?
Hey, Matt, I'm sure you want to get back to the big leagues. It's not going to happen here, so we're going to release you so you can go pick a place where maybe you have a better shot to get back to the big leagues.
Hey, Matt, even though you've played well enough to be in the big leagues here, we're shadow banning you, and you're not going to be back up. So we're going to let you go and see if another team will shadow ban you.
I do want to shoot Hawk a little bit of bail here, and you can never take this away from Matt Mervis. There was a time this season that he was tied for the National League lead in home runs with Shohei Ohtani.
Yes! You are 100% correct. And for the longest time, he led the Marlins in home runs.
The longest.
he was for like over a month. He had seven dongs, I think.
He did. He finished
trying to think
seven.
If who did wasn't Stowers because he wasn't raking yet. Who's the other guy? I think Betts right before him.
Wagaman.
I think it was like tied with Wagaman for the league.
Well, I don't think Wagaman's had a home run since then. the Eric Wagaman thing. I don't get
that
it.
Petered out as well, but they don't seem to have a problem with him.
I don't get it.
I wonder where Mervis is right now on the Marlins home run list for this season.
He's got seven. I know that.
Might be on their all-time list.
You think Shohei Ohtani looked on that list one day and was like, oh, no, Matt Mervis, he caught me.
Listen, people were talking about Matt Mervis as a potential MVP earlier in the season.
I think we need to pour out a Dr. Brown's in honor of Matt Mervis.
Maybe all-star MVP.
Matt Mervis right now is fifth on the Marlins in home runs.
Pretty good.
Stowers has 25, Gus Buss 17, Otto Lopez 11, Jesus Sanchez 10, and Matt Mervis 7. So they got rid of their fourth and fifth best home run hitters, Marlins.
And they are literally one of the two best teams in baseball over the last 45 games.
Right, but wouldn't you love to be the best team in baseball and not have lost last night?
I mean, the answer to those two questions are yes.
I hope so.
I mean, you're taking the exact opposite approach with Tua, but when it comes to Mervis, you're like, oh, well, Marlins, Mervis, Sanchez.
Not sure. I think you quoted me correctly. I think I did say, yeah. Oh,
that's,
Marlins,
that's what
Mervis,
I heard.
Sanchez.
That's what I heard.
Okay. There are reports that the Heat could cut recently acquired Simone Fontecchio due to a luxury tax concerns. The forward is set to make $8.3 million this season. It's cutting season.
Cutting season.
Matt Mervis first. Maybe next. We'll see. Maxi Falcone. His red card from Saturday night's soccer match has been rescinded and will play tomorrow at 7:30 as Inter Miami faces Pumas. Messi will not play due to a minor muscle injury.
That game is here?
Yes. All three. This is the third game of the group play. It's a Leagues Cup is actually put on by MLS, so all the games are played in the United States and none in Mexico.
Oh, okay.
Some of these games have been absolutely wild. I watched Minnesota United the other night. Ooh, what a game.
Would you call it a cracker?
I would. Absolutely. Wow.
All right. I was at that
big I was in Atlanta, obviously. You know, I follow the Premier League wherever it goes. And so if you want to use soccer terminology, like it was a cracker, you know I'm going to understand it.
Yeah. I might use that on the broadcast Saturday night.
Oh, feel free.
Yeah.
Once again, I like the quote that maybe people glossed over. I'm a huge Premier League fan. I follow it wherever it goes. Give you like the depths of China.
If, by the way, they're in a 400 to 500 mile radius of wherever I am,
deep in communist China, Bournemouth. Whoa!
I mean, Hawk's been to the grounds.
I have. I've seen two Bournemouth games, both losses.
Shadow banned.
No, they.
I'm gonna be shadow banned.
They lost to West Ham.
West Ham.
Yeah. Yeah, they got shut out.
Oh, goodness. All right. Well, Tyler Huntley, he is signed to the Cleveland Browns. He is about the only man standing at quarterback, kind of like with the Dolphins. It's he and Joe Flacco that are battling it out this preseason so far. And Teddy Bridgewater in Tampa, expected to sign with the Buccaneers, 32 years old, expected to back up Baker Mayfield.
I love Baker Mayfield.
He's great.
He's a polarizing character.
Is he?
Some people don't like him. They hate him.
I like him.
I feel like that's gone away since he left Cleveland and had
maybe a little bit in Cleveland, right? Yeah, I think he's reinvented himself pretty well.
Maybe it's because I'm a Saints fan. I don't know.
That might be it.
Let's do some weather. It's hot. It's going to stay hot in South Florida till about middle of December, and then it get less hot. That's your weather.
A little less hot. Still hot, though.
Still hot.
Clay Ferreiro from Local 10 is going to join us in the next segment.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
I'm just saying that I'm Hawk. We talk Tua. Hawk Tua.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hey, Ferrero from Local 10 is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Hello, Clay.
Hello, Hawk. What's new in your world?
Well, we've been very sportsy today, and I know that's going to disappoint you because I was going to get into August being National Sandwich Month and National Goat Cheese Month, but we've been sportsy, and I'll tell you how. So Appel and I have been discussing, well, the Dolphins mostly, really, for an hour and a half, the Dolphins. If I said to you, the Dolphins are talented enough and are good enough to compete with the Buffalo Bills for the AFC East this season. Do you think I'm nuts?
Yes.
Hmm.
This is where you go. Five times that you believe people are sleeping on the Miami Dolphins.
Because I do. I believe people are sleeping on the Miami Dolphins. I've been very clear about that. I haven't wavered from that opinion. But, I mean, if the Dolphins are an injury or multiple injuries away from a season that looked like last season, what's to say that Buffalo isn't? And I think the Dolphins are easily the second-best team in the AFC East. And I think if things go well, they're going to compete for the AFC East.
I appreciate your optimism and your stick-to-itiveness to this take. I'm not trying to project that all is doom and gloom. I think where I'm at though is that I don't see a roster that's more talented than last year's. I will say the guy who I think is probably the biggest reason for optimism right now, everything I'm hearing and you know, the brief that we get to see, is Patrick Paul. I do think that there's a lot to feel good about with, when you look back at Teron Armstead being out a bit and all that stuff, that if Paul does take that big leap that it appears he might be, then I think you feel a bit better about that spot. But I still just have so many questions about the cornerback position. I still don't know how, like, we're going to go from a team that couldn't run block a year ago to now all of a sudden they can. And that's on top of, you know, all of the other stuff as far as, you know, can Mike McDaniel get plays in on time consistently and all this other. I just think there's so many questions. And then if there's an injury to Josh Allen, sure. But I don't think that there's another injury on the Buffalo Bills that you're like, yes, that's the injury that closes the gap significantly between them and where the Dolphins are right now.
Clay, I totally agree with you when it comes to the cornerbacks. But I look at the other position groups and I see a front seven that, if healthy, in my mind, is one of the better groups in the league. I look at an offensive line where you go from Liam Eikenberg starting at guard to a guy in James Daniels, who, if he's healthy, is at least a solid player. Jonah, I'm not going to try his last name yet. I'll get it down before our broadcast on the 23rd against Jaguars.
Abanaya?
Something like that. Jonah at left guard, I know he's been a little up and down, but seems like there's something there. You mentioned Patrick Paul. I look at the offense and I'm like, well, they had like three receivers last year once Malik Washington kind of figured it out. Now I feel like with Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, they're four deep at receiver. I think they're pretty decent at running back. So I'm not sure I see the same large number of holes on this roster as you do outside of corner. Like, on paper, they seem about as talented everywhere except for corner, in my opinion.
So I like the front seven. I do. Now with that said, I do think you're banking on the health of Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb there. And you're talking about two guys coming off season ending injuries. And so I think, yes, I mean, yeah, if in this utopian world where all these guys stay healthy, then sure. But again, like, I think a lot of teams feel that way. And I think a lot of teams are coming in with the same sorts of, you know, depth questions and things like that. And as far as the offensive line goes, yeah, I mean, there's a world where on paper it is better. And yet, I don't know. I got to see it. I really have to see it. And I think where we're talking about, like, holes being filled, it's theoretical holes being filled. It's okay. Yeah. We feel like this could be better because it can't be much worse. And yet at the same time, I'm kind of looking at it like, okay, well, are we sure about that? And I still have a lot of questions, especially about, you know, are they going to be able to develop a consistent running game in order to open things up for Tua? And, you know, again, and this is all without even looking at and thinking about the injury situation and with Tua, and are they able to protect him moving forward?
I'm not trying to, like, go back and forth on this particular topic, but you mentioned the running game a couple of times, and I think I lean towards Hawk on this, where I look at what the running game looked like in McDaniel's first two seasons, and I look at what we saw last year, obviously, and I feel like the sample size is bigger for, obviously, the first two seasons, where they were one of the better rushing offenses in the league. You don't think that it's possible that they can move closer to what they were those first couple of years and more resemble what they were last year? I'm not sure that I agree with that either.
Okay, we can disagree.
But yeah,
I think that's where we're at. We're disagreeing, and I don't see it. I really don't. And look, I'd love to be wrong. I just think that when you look at where this team is, you know, again, there's a lot of hey, we're looking at this like this is the ideal. This is what we're hoping for. And, you know, I think there's a lot of hopes across the league that you know, teams are kind of looking at it from a similar situation.
Somebody texts in, Hawk, take your homer glasses off. The biggest problem is you think Tua is better than he is. Tua wasn't very good when he did play last year. That's probably one of my bigger disconnects with a lot of Dolphins fans. See, I think a lot of Dolphins fans are ready to lump him into the Ryan Tannehill experiment. Not that he wasn't good when he left here, but we were on a hamster wheel with Tannehill, right? It never went anywhere. And a lot of Dolphins fans feel like the same thing is happening here. Solana's one of them. Solana's like, yeah, he's good, but he can't win a big game. And I just think he's better than that. And I think he gets slept on specifically. I talk about the team and the roster being slept on. I think Tua gets slept on. I read this thing to Crowder yesterday. Clay, it was CBS Sports. CBSSports.com did a draft. They put all 32 projected starters for the NFL into a draft. And the way that they did the draft order was Super Bowl odds based on most of the sports books. So whoever was the biggest long shot gets the first pick in the draft, which is New Orleans. I think everyone knows that they're going to be the worst team in the league. They got to pick number one, and then you got all the way to number 32. And they had Tua being drafted 27th out of all the quarterbacks in the NFL. And I thought that was kind of representative. While that's an extreme, I thought that was kind of representative of how most people nationally view Tua, which is, yeah, he's just kind of there. And when you need a quarterback, if you were drafting them all, you'd take him 27th. And I just don't understand it. Like, I don't understand why people think Caleb Williams is better than Tua, or, I mean, on this draft, Justin Fields was going before Tua. There were a lot of guys that I thought was suspect. But I think people sleep on Tua as a talent. We were talking about him as an MVP two seasons ago.
So a couple of things on this. Yes, that is extreme. I wouldn't go that far, but I also wouldn't put him in the top 10. I don't think I'd put him top 12. I think you're talking, you know, 15, 17 range. I think you're good. I think when you start to get down to like Geno Smith, that's where I draw the line. I'm like, he's better than Geno Smith. And I think that's probably it. And Josh, so I was trying to find the number. This is the thing that really stands out to me about the Dolphins rushing offense. To go back to this, 1.2 yards before contact last season. That was 27th in the NFL. So you're going to have to take an enormous step forward there. And I think, and this all goes hand in hand with Tua. Tua is not a quarterback that's going to get you rushing yards. And he's not a guy who's going to scare you with his legs. And I think that's for me right now, that's the biggest difference between him and some of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. Even a Joe Burrow, for example. Joe Burrow is a guy that, like, you turn your back on him, good luck with that. He's going to get yards on you, and he's going to scare. He's going to get a first down. And so there's just so much that has to go right in order for Tua to maximize that talent. It's the running game. Like, they need a lot better than 1.2 yards per contact before contact. They need this is my other problem with Tua, Hawk, over the course of the last couple years. Yeah, man, first read, second read, it's beautiful. You get third read and beyond, and it gets really dicey. And the thing that is such a strength of Tua's, which is he throws such a catchable ball, it's also pretty catchable for defensive backs when he makes that throw a little bit late. And I think that's the biggest problem with this offense.
That's because he's got to get rid of the ball quickly. By the time he gets to the third or fourth read, they're breathing down his neck.
Well, yes, or he's throwing it late. And I think there have been a lot of times over the last couple of years when you've looked at that third read, and the third read is open, but it goes there too late, and then it gets picked. And, you know, the right throw made late is a very wrong throw. And, I, he's not a bad quarterback. I mean, you're talking probably top half of the league, but I'm just not – he's not a guy that I think you win because of. And the MVP candidate stuff, I certainly think when you look back on that – you know, there were a lot of smoke and mirrors that the league has figured out now. Now, is there a world where that can turn around? Sure, man. Mike McDaniel could have gotten in the lab and changed a lot of this stuff in a way that, you know, makes it look a lot different this season. I'm just going to have to see it, and I'm really going to have to see the running game get back to what it was a couple of years ago where you're able to open that up. And I'm also going to have to see them find a way to beat two safety looks. It's really simple. And again, I think that gets back to the running game a bit, but there are just so many questions for me that have to be answered before I'm okay with putting them in that tier.
Yeah, and I think I'm not sitting here defending the run game from last year. It's indefensible. It was terrible. The numbers, especially the one you brought up, back that up. I just think that's more of an outlier in general to what Mike McDaniel has engineered in his career. He, obviously, San Francisco was known as having an incredible running game when he was there as the run game coordinator. He comes here and the Dolphins implement that, and it's fantastic. They were great in Cleveland while McDaniel was there as well. So I just feel like last year was kind of an outlier for his entire coaching career. And for me, it's hard to imagine it being as bad this year when on paper, they've improved the offensive line from a year ago. And I think to your point about Tua and the turnovers, totally fair, but I would also say that in the 11 games last year, he protected the ball as well as he has in his entire career. I feel like the how often in general are you getting to your third and whatever's after that read over the course of a play, especially in this offense? You know, sometimes defenses just get the better of you.
It's strange because in the 2 o'clock hour, Josh was the biggest Tua hater in the world, and now he's trying to place that onto Clay's head.
I said I would trade. The hypothetical was, would you trade Tua Tagovailoa for Cam Ward if the Titans came to you and said that's the offer?
Oh my goodness. I would absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Without a doubt.
Yeah, and see, Aronde said no, because while Cam Ward, yes, in the future, obviously you'd like the lower contract, but if you're talking about thinking you have an opportunity to win now, if you take someone brand new to the system and replace someone who's been in the system for 5 years and the whole system is predicated on him, then you're taking a step backwards.
But again, my thing is you have quarterbacks you can win with and quarterbacks you can win because of, and we're talking about a system. You know, if you're telling me it's because of the system, that's a quarterback you can win with. And if that's the case, a quarterback that you can win with, you need elite roster construction around them. And, you know, I think Jalen Hurts is kind of like, he's in between. Like, I think forever he's been a quarterback you could potentially win with. And then there were times last year where he looked more like the quarterback you could win because of. But Philadelphia Eagles have elite roster management and roster construction around him, and they were able to largely build that at first when he was on his rookie contract. And it's just when you look at Tua and it's like, okay, well, they weren't able to do it when he was on his rookie contract. Well, now they're having to make some of these decisions. And I don't know that he's the guy like a Patrick Mahomes, like a, that's going to be able to make those plays that you really need to kind of like say, and frankly, because he hasn't done it, he hasn't shown the ability to do that in big game situations. So I just, until you get me there, until I see it, and I've seen it way too many times the other way, like I can't envision things all of a sudden changing when there's just not a lot of evidence to tell you otherwise.
I get it. Because it's inarguable he hasn't done it. So I can't argue that he has, because
we have that one game against the Cowboys.
Had the game against the Cowboys. What is it, National Sandwich Month is the month of August. So let me get to the important stuff, Clay. What is your go-to? I say you can have any sandwich right now that you want. What is your go-to sandwich?
Oh, man, that's really hard.
Because I was thinking about it earlier because I was thinking, like, is my go-to sandwich the McRib? And I'm like, kind of cutesy, but I don't think that's my go-to sandwich. It's cutesy. I do think my favorite sandwich, and I love a cheeseburger. I like a turkey club. I think my favorite sandwich is a grilled cheese with bacon.
Ooh,
at a diner.
I'm on board with that. I like that. I like that. So yeah. Does a cheeseburger count as a sandwich?
Sure. Yeah. Why wouldn't it?
Okay, so that would be right up there. As far as the best specific sandwich I've ever had, do you remember that show Man vs. Food?
Did you ever watch that show? Adam, what's his name?
Adam so good. So there was an episode where they went to Reading Terminal Market in Philadelphia, and they did like this. It was during March Madness, and they did this bracket style sandwich competition. It was like, you know, they had a one seed, four seed, and they went all the way through. And the one that ended up winning was a roasted pork sandwich with broccoli rabe at Tommy DeNick's in Reading Terminal Market in Philadelphia. And so when we went to Philadelphia, this was years and years ago when I was in Fort Myers and Florida Gulf Coast ended up making the NCAA tournament, and we went there. It is the best sandwich I've ever eaten. It is unbelievable. Mm. So, you know, that's very niche, but as far as the number one sandwich, that's where I would go. As far as just a general, give me a cheeseburger with mustard, ketchup, pickles, grilled onions, and I'm good to go.
Terrible toppings.
My favorite sandwich is a charred, dry hot dog. How do you feel about that?
I don't hate it. Yeah, I don't hate it.
Oh, is a hot dog a sandwich?
I wouldn't say my favorite. See, that's a completely different debate for me. I'm asking you as far as like what is the you know, how are we classifying this? But yeah, that's, I don't know. I don't know. I've never gotten in on that debate. To me, it's just like, is it good or isn't it?
Is a quesadilla a sandwich?
No.
No.
It's not a sandwich?
It's literally called a quesadilla.
Well, but a hot dog is literally called a hot dog.
Yeah, but.
Well, no, yeah, but I mean.
what is quesadilla translated in Spanish? All I know is cheese what? Queso is cheese. Okay, thanks for that.
But is it? I mean, isn't it theoretically if I put chicken and cheese, like if I got a chicken quesadilla somewhere, if I put chicken and cheese between two pieces of white bread, I have a sandwich. You're telling me if I put chicken and cheese between two flour tortillas, I don't have a sandwich?
Do tortillas classify as bread?
I mean, kind of, no?
I think that's the crux of the argument, though.
Yeah, I think it is the crux of the argument.
Quesadilla translates to little cheesy thing.
Oh.
Well, that's fantastic. So it's not a sandwich, it is a little cheesy thing.
I've been called that during my career, during high school as well. Oh, that little cheesy thing over there? Yeah. All right, Clay Ferreiro from Local 10. Hey, I had Will on with us yesterday, and I gave him a chance because I know there's been a lot of change at Local 10 since August 1st. So when can people – there's all kinds of new newscasts, right?
Yeah, new newscasts, and then also we're going to do a lot more sports programming. You know, I think the big one that will start this weekend, we used to have just our Sports Sunday at 11:30 on Sunday nights. We're going to have two Sports Saturdays, 9:30 and 11:30 on Saturday nights, and then an extra Sports Sunday at 9:30. So, now with all that said, we're still kind of like, you know, the cool part about this is it's kind of a blank canvas. So we're going to try to do new stuff, a lot more local stuff. We may throw in like some fantasy football stuff. So, you know, we're really going to try to have fun with this. And, you know, feel free to give us your feedback too, for everybody listening. Like what do you guys want to see? This is really, we're leaning into a lot of local.
I'd like to see you guys debate whether a quesadilla is a sandwich on Saturday night.
Writing it down, is a quesadilla a sandwich? We may be able to spend the entire,
see what Dookie Lang says.
We may actually be able to spend the entire half hour on that one. I think that's gonna.
What does Mrs. Ferreiro think of Clay being busy now on Saturday nights for work?
Well, Clay's always, unfortunately, I've always been busy on Saturday nights. She likes having me out of the house, though. It's her, she'll complain about it, but then deep down, she likes having the quiet time once the kids go to bed.
Yeah, understood. All right, well, watch Clay. I mean, Local 10 is, when I say local, they are local, man. They are doing it upright. There's going to be a ton of local sports coverage, like he said. So we will be watching. Thank you, as always, Clay.
Anytime. Hey, Josh, stop hating on Tua.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Guy absolutely can't stand Tua. It's wild.
I was going to say thanks, Clay, but now I'm not.
See you, Clay. There you go. Clay Ferreiro from Local 10. 4 o'clock hour is next here on Hockman, Crowder, and Solana.
You're listening to the Hawk, Crowder, and Solana Show.
Text threads are meant for pictures of Jimmy's hot dog.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.